Today's reading is from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, and verses 39 through 44. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'These are the appointed festivals of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed festivals. Now the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall keep the festival of the Lord lasting 7 days, a complete rest on the first day and a complete rest on the eighth day. On the first day, you shall take the fruit of majestic trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a festival to the Lord 7 days in the year. You shall keep it in the seventh month as a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All that are citizens in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Thus Moses declared to the people of Israel the appointed festivals of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Great job. Was groovy. Hi, my name's Kylie. If we haven't met yet, hello. Let's start with a word of prayer. God, I kind of felt like I could have went home after we said over and over, as we sang to each other over and over, that you are for us. That you are for us. I think we could change the world if we believed it. That you're with us. And so I just want to spend one moment trying to take it in as we start. What would it mean if we allowed ourselves to imagine that you were on our team, cheering us on, delighting in us even? What would it mean if everywhere we went, even the very darkest of places in ourselves and in our world, you were already there waiting. You never leave us for one second. What would it mean if it was true, God? I think it would change our whole life. May we believe it just a little bit more because of the time we spent together today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy holidays to you. You're not ready yet? When I say holidays, I'm going to give it a plural, because we, between now and 2025, have the following holidays. We have Thanksgiving, President's Day. You guys get pretty stoked about that. We have Native American Heritage Day, December Solstice, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's. Those are the big ones. We also have National Sardines Day, which is today, for those who observe. National Cake Day is this Tuesday, heads up. On Wednesday of this week, it is National Turtle Adoption Day. So happy holidays there. Anyone named Catherine in this room? Okay, Catherine, you have a National Catherine Day coming up on December 2nd. And my personal favorite, yes, good job. Good job, Catherine. Coming up on December 21st, Reese. Oh, happy birthday, Reese. Reese's mother. I'm the kind of person who likes to keep the holidays in her heart all year round, especially for this one. December 21st is Don't Make Your Bed Day. Okay. There are about 20 days on any given day of our calendar now. They're fun. The ones I like are like donut day, cake day. It's like, you're right, I should eat a donut today. I should celebrate that hard. It's clear that celebrating is who we are. It's part of who we are. It's part of what we like to do, especially if there's donuts involved. This morning, we're talking about how celebration is actually part of how God made us, and that God's self actually created celebration. So speaking of parties, our scripture today is from Leviticus, which Hazel did an excellent job reading. Oh, someone liked that. that's fun. We're reading from Leviticus chapter 23, and I did not get my stuff together this week in time to make you a slide. So it might help you to look at Leviticus chapter 23 on your phone or whatever, because I'm going to go through it, no pressure. But if you want to be able to see what we're talking about, I am tackling an entire chapter today, so it might help you to look at it. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus is an interesting book, and I can say that I have never preached one singular sermon out of Leviticus. It truly reads like an instruction manual for like a very, very sad printer. It is, in my opinion, boring and doesn't sound that fun. And so you wonder, why are we reading out of Leviticus on this day about celebration? I'll get there. But first, we're going to read out of Leviticus on this day of celebration. In this chapter, God is describing to Israel how to celebrate, when to celebrate. And God is actually commanding to Israel how they will celebrate and when they will celebrate as they enter into this new promised land. So Leviticus is located right after the book of Exodus. It's kind of a sequel. And so it's coming at this time in Israel's history where they've just been delivered from Egypt. Let my people go. Pharaoh. And that was a church camp reference for anyone, for my people. They have been wandering around the desert, and they are about to enter the promised land, which is actually not just a land where they just get to walk in and be cool. There's lots of other people around. They have this whole new culture of what it means to be the people of God. And so Leviticus is actually this actual manual, kind of how they will continue to be the people of God as they now walk into this new land. Does that make sense? So it is kind of the how and when to worship of the why worship that we find in Exodus. So we find these celebrations in chapter 23. The first one that God says is, you will, as my people, you will observe the Sabbath. This is what's going to set you apart from everyone else around you. You are going to celebrate the Sabbath every week. You're going to take a day off. That's what's going to be the distinguishing mark here. You're going to do no work, and you will rest, you will worship. And in this celebration, you'll be reminded that not only did God create you, but God provides for you. Then if we go down to verse 5 in this chapter, there's the Feast of the Passover. And this feast is commemorating how God delivered his people from Egypt. It marks the very beginning of their freedom. Then, you see, you're already bored, and I'm only on the third one. There's a Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is a 7-day festival. How many of you have trouble getting, 3 days off for Christmas? Okay, this is one of 8 celebrations that are in their calendar year, and it's 7 days, where, again, you don't work, and it's reminding the people of how quickly they had to leave from Egypt, that they didn't even have time to let their bread rise. Next, the Feast of First Fruits. This is where it's at the beginning of the harvest. You're going to bring your best to God. You're going to bring your first to God to acknowledge and show gratitude that God is the one who provides these things. Next, we got the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost is another thing we call it, where we're at the end of harvest now. We're celebrating all that God has done. Then we have the Feast of Trumpets. Oh, Phil, you do a really good mouth trumpet. Can you do? No? Okay.
I have to be inspired naturally. You know,
are you somehow saying that what I'm saying right now is not inspiring? Feast of Trumpets is a joyful day. of rest marked by sounding trumpets. This is ushering in a time of renewal and reflection. There's the Day of Atonement, which I will be atoning later for putting you on the spot. This is a solemn day of fasting, repentance to seek reconciliation with God. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also called Booths, which Hazel read about. Okay. This is one chapter. We have a bunch of celebrations. They're spaced out pretty evenly throughout the year. And unlike National Adopt-a-Turtle Day, these observances were not optional. God has made a covenant with Israel and said, "You're my people, I'm your God. I will be for you and with you, and you will celebrate these days." These are a big deal. There's consequences, honestly, for not celebrating these days. You could be removed from the community if you didn't observe these days. Sounds fun. I don't like being told what to do. Is anyone with me? To the point where was anyone else who has children now like a better parent before they had children? So I just remember all of my friends who were older and wiser laughing at me when I was doing my baby registry for Dax, saying, "Don't buy him anything that has like happy on it, because I want him to like really be able to feel the full range of emotions." And they were like, "Kylie, he's an infant though. And that's weird, you know? I didn't want anyone to tell him what to do or how to feel. It's extreme." I think also because I have this kind of chip on my shoulder about life, when I come into worship spaces, sorry, Beck, if you've ever done this, but no, we've never done this here. Have you ever been in a church space where they're like, "And now you, this half of the room sing this part, and this half of the room sing that part"? Have any of you ever been there? Well, guess who won't be? Me. You know what I do? I always sing the other part. Or when people are like, "Okay, clap along." I'm like, "Well, no. I was clapping, but now I'm going to stop. Don't tell me what to do. This is how I came to this text. That doesn't sound fun, God. That doesn't sound fun." And I think for church, and I think for holidays, we sometimes, me at least, can focus on how not fun it is because we get stuck on the Leviticus end of the how and the when. You're going to tell me exactly what to do and exactly when to do it? But we've divorced it sometimes from the why. Every single festival here, every single celebration is connected to a why. Why do we come in and clap? Why do we practice singing this side of the room and that side of the room? Why do we come to church? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? Why? I would challenge you in this season, as many times as you can remember, to start tuning in to the why of your what and how and when. So why does God care about celebrating so much? We're looking at the why. I would say, first of all, to remember. And again, I should have made you a slide so you could remember. I'm going to use three alliterative words. Remember is the first. Every celebration ties to a moment of their story to help them remember it. And if you look at the moments of the story that they're tying to here, it's moments of the story that aren't necessarily the big wins. Like, remember how quickly you had to leave in the middle of the night? You didn't even have good bread. Remember that? Remember when you had to live in these little shelters? Remember how you need to atone and reconcile because you're kind of messed up sometimes. Remember? This is what they're celebrating. They're not celebrating like Moses' big touchdown that one time. I think what God is challenging us to do is celebrate the parts of our story that remind us who God is and who we are, even the points in our story that aren't that fun all the time at first. When we go through the festivals, we see the following reminders, and I would invite you to think for yourself. If we had time, I would just want to sit down and talk about this, but can you remember a time where God provided for you? Can you remember? Can you remember a time where God called you to freedom? Thank you for sharing your story. What's your story? Can you remember a time where you took a rest and where everything worked out, even though you weren't there to make sure it worked out? Can you remember a time where you did something that didn't deserve forgiveness, but you got it? Can you remember a time where you hurt someone you loved and you were able to make it right again, where there was healing? Those are the moments in our story that we're called to celebrate. Because those are the moments in our story where we see our God shine, honestly, the brightest. It reminds us not only that God makes all those things possible, but that God makes all those things possible for us. I was remembering this is my husband, Phil. He told me not to introduce him because I always introduce him, but I just can't help myself. Phil and I, what came to mind when I was thinking about this sermon, we worked at a church plant early on in our lives. It ended very poorly. But before we knew it was ending very poorly, we were called into a meeting with the elders. And we knew that this was going to either go really well or real bad. Spoiler, it went real bad. It worked out, we're okay, but it was not great at the time. But we didn't know going in. And so we made a decision in the car before we went into the building to have this meeting. No matter which one happens, whether we get promoted or whether we get fired, because it was one or the laid off, excuse me, whether we get promoted or whether we get laid off, I like dramatic, so sometimes I tell the story more dramatic than it was. Laid off. We decided we were going to go to Eva's Pancakes in Anderson. That's what we were going to do. Best pancakes there is. Does it exist anymore?
Yes.
Awesome. I would highly suggest it. 10 out of 10 recommend. The reason it came to mind is because God is telling Israel, no matter what the circumstance, remember that I created you. I am a God of love. I am a God who provides. And in remembering who God is, we get to remember who we are, which is we are a created people. We are loved people. We are people who God will provide for. Get the pancakes. Celebrate no matter how it shakes out, because that will not change about you. God cares about our celebrating because it's important for us to remember. It's also important for us to renew our hope. A command to celebrate doesn't seem very fun. I struggled with that. But then I thought, if I really believed that God was good, if God is commanding me to celebrate 8 times a year, once a month, if I really believe that God isn't tricking me, then this command to celebrate is also a promise that I will have something to celebrate 8 times a year and 1 time a month. We renew our hope. We renew our belief that God is good and for us. Isn't it funny how fast that dissipates? I could fill a week telling you stories from my life. That day after Eva's pancakes were everything. It felt like the rug was just ripped from under our feet. And you know what? We made it. And we made it in this most beautiful, amazing way I would have never seen coming. I can't even start to think about how many stories like that I have of God being good and God loving me. And tomorrow, I will be in full despair that God is not good and God is not loving me. We are forgetters. We have to renew our hope. When we celebrate what God has done, it helps us renew our hope in what God's going to do. Gratitude for what has happened is hope for what will. We celebrate to remember, we celebrate to renew, we celebrate to resist. Say resist. I rushed through those because I wanted to talk about this. This year, I was picking out my family's Christmas pajamas. Who else has their Christmas stuff up, loud and proud? Yeah. Anyone else have it up because they struggle with seasonal affective disorder and some lights help? I was buying our Christmas pajamas. The day for me that the world felt really unsteady and unsure. And I stopped in front of this bright red sweatshirt at Target that said Mary on it. It was real cute. But I had to stand there for a good long time thinking, is it wrong for me to buy a bright red sweatshirt that says Mary on it in a season, in a time in our world that to me feels so un-Mary, that actually feels scary? Is it wrong this Christmas season, this Thanksgiving season, to fill my house up with words like joy and colorful things and little Santas and Christmas trees? Is it wrong to be spending my money on a Christmas train under my Christmas tree? Celebrating almost feels trite. It almost feels wrong. Do you relate? I think God invites us to celebrate every year these regular things. Without knowing what those years in front of us will hold, he says, you will do this every year, no matter what, because that is the people I've called you to be, and you get to choose. You get to choose who you're going to be in the world. Celebrating is an act of resistance to all of the forces around us that would have us choose despair, to all of the voices around us that would say there is no hope, to all of the influence around us that just seems dark and heavy. Celebration is resistance, saying my identity and how I act, the stories that I tell in my home, the words that come out of my mouth, I'm choosing. And I'm not going to let the darkness and despair of the world around me creep in and decide who I'm going to be. I'm going to Eva's Pancakes, whether I'm fired or not, because I like pancakes. And that's my choice. That's your choice. Celebration is a resistance against the lie that anger is more powerful than love. That is a lie. Celebration is an act of resistance that there's nothing to celebrate. That's a lie. Celebration is resistance that we are on our own. That's a lie. The Israelites in this scripture are walking into enemy territory, trying to hold on to who they are and who they've been called to be and all the things that God has done for them. And God knows that they are never going to make it if they don't, at regular intervals throughout their year, remember, renew, resist. And then we have Jesus. We have Jesus who sits at his table. If it would have been communion today, I would have put candles in your bread. Jesus comes to the table. And he says, every time you eat bread, every time you drink the cup, remember who I am. Remember who you are. And celebrate. And Jesus isn't talking about the act of communion that we do here, that little bread, the little cup. No, he saw every time you eat, every time you drink, every time you are provided for by your God, let who he is become part of your body, your life, your dailiness, celebrating that you are loved and provided for by a God who loves you and provides for you. Celebrate. Celebrate. Today we're going to do a little celebrating together. I have a friend who, I don't know if she still does it, but she used to carry a pack of birthday candles in her purse. And matches. She always had matches, not lighters, matches. That scared me, so I didn't do that for the example. And anytime you were talking to her and you did something brave, or if you took a step toward healing, if you made a good joke sometimes, she would take a birthday candle out of her purse and she would light it and you would celebrate. I want to celebrate some things in this room today. I'm going to celebrate a thing and then we're all together going to say, we celebrate you and your God. You got your instructions? To those who could have said something mean this week and didn't, we celebrate you and your God. To those who got out of bed today, we celebrate you and your God. You deserve a better celebration than that. Because you even stood upright. You've talked in complete sentences today. To those who said no to something this week so they could say yes to something bigger, we celebrate you and your God. To those this week who took one step in their healing, in their sobriety, in their well-being, we celebrate you and your God. To those this week who said they were sorry, we celebrate you and your God. I wonder what you would add. I wonder what specifics you could add. I want you to look around this room. Sometimes it's good to look at each other. If you're in the front, turn around. One thing I love about these feasts is as I was reading, the sacrifices that people had to offer were extreme. It was a lot. You had to bring a lot of goats, a lot of doves. And as I was reading, it was pointed out that these sacrifices people had to bring, you know, I get stressed out bringing chips to a pitch-in. The sacrifices they had to bring were extreme. And that they were extreme kind of on purpose. They weren't something you could come up with just on your own. Communities, families had to come together to bring these things to the celebration. And I would say that that was very on purpose by our God. Not only do we celebrate to remember who God is and who we are, we celebrate to remember who we are. We celebrate each other. As you leave today, you're going to get a little birthday candle. Would you use it this week? Maybe put it in your, I don't know, enchilada, whatever you're eating for lunch today. Would you try it to celebrate the bravery around you, the beauty around you, how God is providing? Would you try it to renew the hope of you and your family and your friends? Would you try it as a point of resistance? To say, I will be a light. I will bring a light. Even when everything around me is telling me darkness is the only thing possible, I can and I will celebrate.